So will you pray with me as we begin? May the words that I say today, God, and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you never know who is listening these days. Phil Brookman, a minister in Oklahoma City, was delivering a Sunday message from 1 Corinthians 12, you know, the chapter about being the body of Christ, when his sermon illustrated nearly resulted in the purchase of $28 worth of toilet paper. One of his congregants, Bethany Becknell, was home with a sick child, and she was listening to the sermon via live stream. And Brookman was preaching about how easy it is in the 21st century for Christians to sort of live isolated lives and be separate from one another, and that we fail to see the need for this kind of unity that the Apostle Paul was writing about. And so he said, even shopping has become depersonalized. Instead of going to Walmart, he said, and interacting with other humans, one need only say, Alexa, order toilet paper. Suddenly, as Bethany Becknell was listening to this via live stream and watching it, she heard a polite female voice say, okay, I've added it to your cart. She grabbed her phone, this is a true story, and sure enough, 60 rolls of toilet paper were there, just waiting for her to check out. She texted the screenshot of the order to her husband, who was at the church that day in the early service, and he showed it to the minister afterwards, and he said, I think you owe me $28. And so at the second service, the minister actually incorporated the story of what had happened into the sermon, but it was a new and improved sermon illustration. Instead of what he had said previously, he said, Alexa, donate $500 to Memorial Road Church of Christ. So in this age of electronics and gadgets, I don't know about you, but I do some of my best and most active listening when I have lost my phone. Have you had this experience? Everybody quiet, I say, if there are people at my house to help me. I'm listening for my phone. I turn to whoever is near. Can you call it for me? I walk around the house straining my ears, and I go to my purse, not just listening with my ears, but feeling around in my purse to see if I put it on vibrate and if it's down there somewhere in the bottom. I go out to the car, and I dive between the seats, looking and listening and straining my eyes to see if there's a light going off, that I see the light where it's calling. I'm on high alert, sort of listening with my whole being, really. Once I had left the speaker button on, and this saved me. My own voice came back at me in my voicemail, where my phone was nestled in between some soccer socks that someone had felt free to relieve themselves of on the way home from practice one day. So today is the first Sunday of Lent in the church year. And some of you know a lot about the seasons of the church year, and some of you know a little, and some of you could care less. And that's okay, but I want you to see this season as really an invitation to follow and to listen to God more closely. So the season begins on Ash Wednesday, and many of you were here then, and it's 40 days plus 6 Sundays. You won't find Lent in the Bible at all. As early Christians began to form themselves into the church in the first, second, and third centuries, Lent was formalized as a season of fasting and a prayer. The United Methodist Book of Worship actually invites us to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, by fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's word. So here at Trinity, we're invited to listen for Lent, to take 40 days to practice listening, perhaps in ways that you have not before, to listen with your heart, to discern who God is calling you to be, to listen for what that means in terms of what God is calling you to do. And later during Lent, we'll talk a little bit more about what that means for Trinity in terms of communal discernment. This word discern is kind of a religious word, I like to call it, kind of a churchy word. But it means to seek God's direction and to seek God's will for our life and for the world. most of us could do with a little bit more space in our lives in general, probably, but a little bit more space to actively listen for God's will and God's purpose. Whether we in this room consider ourselves deeply religious or sort of struggling with the spiritual thing, and I recognize that we have all across the board here in this very room, all of us are called to listen for God's purpose for our life. The word discern, you should know, actually comes from a Latin word, and it means to separate out or to distinguish. And we need spaces and places and space in our life to do this. You know about this. You make decisions using discernment all the time. Sometimes you may have made a decision and then you say, I'm going to sleep on it, and call that person in the morning and tell her what I've decided. Or maybe you make a list of pros and cons as you separate out the good and the bad. Or maybe you call a friend and you say, I need to sort this out, right, to kind of separate this out with a friend. So we listen to God in all kinds of ways when we discern. Lent is also an invitation, friends, to kind of let go. Maybe it's to fast from something that keeps us from listening. It doesn't have to be food or wine or chocolate. It could be fasting from Facebook or something else that keeps us from hearing God's voice. So to let go of doing things the same old way we've done them, and to offer ourselves into the unending love of God. By the way, you may have noticed that we brought the baptismal font out of the closet, so to speak. It was way back there behind the cross, and it is front and center now. And I invite you during the season of Lent to come up here. I promise we'll change the water often. And to remind yourself of your baptismal vows, which claim you as beloved children of God, and to hear that voice of God claiming you during this season of Lent. So Lent is about listening. But in order to listen, we have to intentionally seek out places to do that. As for me, I like to sit on the couch in the morning with my coffee in the quiet time before everybody wakes up. And that's a place that connects me and a space that connects me with all that is holy. That beautiful phrase from Psalm 5 comes to me often. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. But there are other places to listen to God. There's a PADS dinner on Friday nights where I hear the voice of God speaking through our neighbors and friends as they come for a meal. I hear God speaking in the car rides to school with my teenagers and young child as well. You don't often get to have those conversations except when you're kind of shut in together in a car. It's in the conversations as my husband and I get to actually go out to dinner every now and then and have that time and space away from kids. It's out in nature where I experience fresh air. Many of you I know experience this too, even in the starkness of winter. In the words of the slogan often used by our sister denomination, the United Church of Christ, God is still speaking to us. We simply need to find the space to listen. Once a young child, a young girl in one of the congregations I served said to me out of the wonderful honesty of babes, she said, I don't like God right now. And I asked why. And she said, because God doesn't talk to me. She says, we read all about God talking to people in the Bible, but God has never talked to me. I know how she feels at times, and you may too. But I want to invite you to listen in a different way for God whispering your name during this season of Lent. Our scripture today does have God talking in the Bible, and the story from 1 Kings points out that God often comes to us and speaks to us in ways and in places that we least expect. This is a little excerpt from a much larger story about Elijah the prophet. Maybe you know that story. The gist of it is that he's running for his life after bringing down destruction and death on the prophets of Baal, who had rejected this God of Israel, the one God. God gave him sanctuary in the desert, and an angel came and ministered to him and offered him food and drink. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Does that sound familiar? And then he went to Mount Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. And when he got there, he found a cave to hole up in. And he spent the night there, scripture tells us. And in the morning, God commanded him to go and stand at the mouth of the cave. And we read that God said, "The Lord is about to pass by." These particular words right here are actually in the King James Version, and they're a little bit different from how we heard them read this morning. So I want to invite you just to hear them in just a few minutes. But you can just imagine how exhausted Elijah was. He had been working hard for God, and he longed to hear a word of comfort and strength from the Lord. And so we read that there came, as the Lord passed by, there came a wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Some translate that last part, that Hebrew word, to actually mean a gentle whisper. In our reading this morning from that Jerry read from the NRSV, it said, "the sound of sheer silence." However you translate, it's clear that God did not speak to Elijah in traditional ways. Not the same old, not the wind or the fire or the earthquake, but rather in a still, small voice and in silence. Elijah could have turned around at that and gone back to sleep, but instead he waited there, listening for God, and God entered into a conversation with him, and they talked together. If Lent is for listening, what do you and I, friends, need to do? What spaces do we need to put ourselves in to also hear that still, small voice? What space do we need to make, you and I, in our life to discern more clearly God's presence? What cave of our own, perhaps? What place, whether it be a sofa or out in nature or in a conversation with a friend, what place do we need to be to let the angels of God minister to us, to be able to pay attention with the ears of our hearts to what God wants for us, what God's will and purpose is for us, to discern where and how God is leading us and what God is calling us to do. So each Sunday during Lent, we've been using this prayer of examine and the prayer of confession, and that's just a smaller part of what's sometimes called the Ignatian prayer of examine. It's a really simple way, I've mentioned this before, of listening to God and reviewing your day, just asking, maybe at bedtime, what were the highs of the day? Maybe journaling about it. What were the lows of the day? Where did I fail? Where did I know love? Do I see any habits or patterns that I need to change? Where did I feel God's presence? I want to say that for those of you who are going through it, as I like to say, who are going through it right now, maybe you're caring for a loved one who's dying, maybe you're experiencing deep grief or heartache, I want to say that you need to go easy on yourself this Lent. Never underestimate the power of simple rituals like being in a church community with people that love you, singing the old hymns, hearing the words of Scripture to sustain you and to draw you into that place where you can hear God's voice. Renita Weems is an author and scholar, and she talks about when she was going through a very difficult time in her life, and she thought about just not showing up to church and not showing up for her friends, and sort of felt like she was going through the motions. And she said she decided it was all right to pray, whether in a new or an old way, and not feel anything, because we don't always, right? We don't always feel some powerful emotion. The point was to pray, she says, whether I could bear it, whatever way I could bear at the moment. And rituals, like this one here, like what we're doing today, are routines that force us to live faithfully, and to do these things even when we no longer feel like being faithful. Until our heart has the time to arouse itself, she writes, and find its way back, rituals make us show up for duty. One of my own earliest memories is of my mom holding a seashell, up to my ear and saying to me, "Listen closely and you will hear the ocean." Have you ever done that? And heard the ocean. I thought that was fascinating that a seashell could carry with it the sound of the ocean, that place where it had once made its home. And of course, I later discovered that it was the shape of the seashells. It just happened to make them great amplifiers of noise, that it was the way that the sound reverberated inside the shell. But I like the story of the ocean much better. A shell is a great way to experience the ocean, of course, but it is never a substitute for the ocean itself, is it? I'm not saying that you should get on a plane right now and head to the beach, although I admit I've been dreaming about white sand and some heat recently. But I am saying that you and I should settle for nothing less as we listen for the voice of God than the real thing. The voice of God calling to us, come and rest. Come and listen. Lay the fullness of your life before the Maker. Lent is for listening. Let's not waste any time as we turn to hear the voice of God calling to you and to me this day and for the 40 days of Lent. Amen.